Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think this morning about the state of the Christian church today. Think about the Christian churches you know of here in Las Cruces, in New Mexico, in the United States, around the world. Think about the message you hear from churches and about churches. Think of the worship practices you've heard of or witnessed, and about the public stance of Christians that they've taken on doctrinal issues or moral issues or societal issues. How much is focused on Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead? How much is rooted in the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in His name? How much is grounded in the absolute truth of God's holy word? How much is centered on word and sacrament? Or in preparing people to bear the cross patiently, to face death bravely, and to prepare for eternal life with God earnestly? Honestly, not much. Does that make you weep? It should, at least on the inside. The Christian church, in its outward form, is God's house, God's city. But it's crumbling, and it's destined to crumble. It's doomed. The scriptures foretell the great apostasy, the great number of false teachers who will come and those who will believe them, the great falling away within the Christian church. As Paul writes to Timothy, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods. And again, Paul writes to Timothy, the time will come when they will not put up with sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And Jesus says, many will fall away. Friends, that time is upon us. A similar time was upon the Jews and the capital city of God's church at that time, the city of Jerusalem. We can learn a lot about our own times from Jesus' tears and words for Jerusalem, and also from His actions afterward, because the same actions are called for in our time. Today in the gospel, we learn what to do for the church that is doomed. As Jesus approached the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, 5 days before the leaders of that city would successfully bring about His crucifixion, we're told that He looked at the city and wept over it, saying, "If only you knew on this your day the things that would bring you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will put up an embankment around you and will surround you and besiege you on every side, and they will raise you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Jesus wept, not because Jerusalem was about to crucify Him, but because after crucifying Him, the people of Jerusalem, the Old Testament visible outward church, would not repent, would not acknowledge their sins, would not believe in Him, would not make use of the atonement He was about to provide for them and for all people. And so the city, less than 40 years later, would be mercilessly attacked by the Roman armies and utterly destroyed, Not because God truly wanted it that way. Not because God chose them for destruction or predestined them to it in eternity. But because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. God sent the Messiah to Jerusalem as promised. He told them that the Christ was coming. God the Holy Spirit made it absolutely clear, both by Jesus' words and by his deeds, that this was the promised Messiah, but they shut their eyes and closed their hearts to the Spirit's work. And so only the remnant, the leftover few, the stragglers in Jerusalem would be saved. But that remnant would indeed be saved. Some members of the Old Testament church would survive, would repent and believe in Christ Jesus, and would escape not only the destruction of Jerusalem, but eternal condemnation in hell. Jesus saw or foresaw those people too. He wasn't paralyzed by the sadness he felt over Jerusalem's demise or by the certain knowledge of the doom and destruction of the city and of the people as a whole. Instead, he went on to do the only things that would save the remnant. First, we're told he went to the temple and cleared it of the things that didn't belong there. He went into the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Buying and selling are not sinful activities, but they are activities that have no place in the house of God. Zeal for God's house, for his own house, consumed Jesus, and he drove out those things that distracted from prayer, that distracted from the ministry of the priests, and from the architecture and the furnishings and the sacrifices in the temple, that all were supposed to be pointing to him. And then he sat down in the temple daily for the next 5 days at least, for those final days of his before his crucifixion, and taught the word of God to all who were listening, and there were many who were listening. And then, as we know, on that Thursday evening, he instituted the New Testament in his blood. And on Sunday morning, he rose from the dead and commissioned his apostles to do as he had done, to preach and teach until the end of the world. And then 50 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit down upon that church, and a relatively small church of 3,000 people or so, a New Testament church, was born. Just a few decades before the Old Testament church was finally destroyed, after having existed for some 2,000 years since the first testament was made with Abraham. Where are we today? Well, it's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus instituted the New Testament in his blood, about 1,988 years since 33 AD. The Christian church has lasted now almost as long as the Old Testament church did, and we see it about in as bad a shape as Jerusalem was in when Jesus wept over it in those few decades before its destruction. The church in its outward form has become a den of thieves, filled with teachings and practices and activities that only distract from Christ. Whether it's the so-called speaking in tongues, or millennialist teaching, or social justice things, or man-made rules, or entertainment-based, man-centered worship, and on and on and on. Christians who believe and teach the gospel rightly and who use the sacraments devoutly according to Christ's institution are scattered throughout the world, gathering, but in small groups and small pockets here and there. Some we know of, some we don't. They're stragglers. They're a remnant. Jesus looks out at that church that bears his name in the world, at what it has become, and he weeps because he knows destruction is coming. And he knows it's the fault of the preachers who preach lies in his name, and the fault of the church members whose itching ears have driven them away to his word and truth and to the nice-sounding but deadly doctrines of men. So it shouldn't surprise us that there is turmoil in the church. It shouldn't surprise us that church bodies come and go, rise and crumble, that they remain faithful for a while and then go astray, including Lutheran ones. It's the history of the whole church. It's painful to watch it unfold. And I've often been close to real tears for the downfall and the impending destruction of Christian churches and Lutheran church bodies. But we learn from Jesus not to be paralyzed by such knowledge or by such pain or sadness. We learn that the godly remnant survives not depending on the survival of the larger church, but depending on God's word and help. It depends only on Christ, and there will always be a remnant on earth. The only question is, will we be a part of it? And so we learn from Jesus in the gospel to do the only things that will save some, including us. We learn to drive out the things among us that distract from prayer, from hearing God's word, from focusing on the sacraments. We learn by daily contrition and repentance to get rid of things that don't belong, either in church or in our private lives as Christians, like false doctrine, like willful sin and pride, like hatred and bitterness, like backbiting and cruelty. We learn to toss out man-centered worship practices. We also learn to avoid an overemphasis on politics and societal public policy as if the church existed to fix human society or create a perfect country, instead of becoming the society and the country that will prosper beyond this world. And we learn to keep teaching the word of God to all who will hear. Both in the church and in our private lives as Christians, the word of God has to take priority. To hear it, to know it, to learn it, to put it into practice, and to support its preaching and ministry in the world. The Lord Jesus still sits down daily in his temple, in his house, in his holy Christian church to teach. Only he now does it through men who have been called by his Spirit through his church. Preachers aren't Jesus. But if they're legitimately called by him and if they teach according to his word, they are his ambassadors and his instruments for gathering and for preserving the remnant in the world. Yes, the church, by and large, is doomed. But we don't have to be. We can mourn over the downfall of outward Christianity, but we can't be paralyzed by it. The Lord Jesus has given us all we need to escape the eternal destruction that will come upon the apostate church. He has given us vital tasks to be doing, and he will continue to give us the strength to do them through his word and through his sacraments. Let us be devoted to using this house of prayer for prayer, and for receiving the instruction and the strength we need to keep doing what needs to be done for the salvation of the remnant in the midst of the church that is doomed. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.